We're doing in Yaakov, we're in Tractate Shabbos, page Ayin Hey, the bottom of page Lamed Gimel in the standard editions. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. We have a quote from Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. He's the one who outsmarted Satan when Satan came to take him to death. The Satan was told, give him one last wish. He said, I want to see my place in the Garden of Eden. So Satan said, okay, I'll take you there. And he said, yeah, that's scary traveling with you. I can only travel with you if you let me hold your sword. So Satan said, fine, okay. He takes the sword, they come. He says, I can't see from here. He says, okay, I still can't see from here. So he brings him up to the edge of the wall outside the Garden of Eden, and he jumps in. He says to the Satan, why don't you take me inside and show me the exact location? He says, no, look over there, over there. So he asks the Satan, why don't you take me inside? So he says, I'm not allowed to go in there. He says, really? He jumps in, and he has the Satan sword, and the Satan says, hey, what are you doing? Come back. So he says, no. So he says, what do you mean, no? I'm supposed to kill you after this. So he says, okay. Go ask God if I'm supposed to come back. What do you mean, come back? He says, that's not right. So he goes to God and he complains. And he says, look what he did to me. So God said, check out Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. If he ever turned back on his word, if he ever said something and then went back on it, went and annulled the vow, so then we're going to force him out of the Garden of Eden. But if he kept his word throughout his life and he never went back on his word, then you got to leave him there. They check and he never went back on his word. So the Satan says, okay, you outsmarted me, but give me back my sword. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, why? Why? Maybe it's better this way. So he says, no, the world needs, people need to die. So he said, okay, but I have conditions. And the Talmud says there were conditions that he gave the Satan about not killing a baby when his mother's holding him. That babies, the Satan had all certain things that he did that were vicious in the way he killed people. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, you have to reduce the amount of times you do that. You can't continue doing that as standard practice the way you've done until now. And he won. Says that he got his conditions. So Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said in the name of the great Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, it says that a heavenly voice used to come out in heaven and say, be ready, Bar Loai, Bar Levi is coming. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was a very pious person. Mishum Bar Kafra. In the name of Bar Kafra, if someone knows how to calculate the stars, the constellations, the dates, the calendar, and he doesn't calculate, about him, the verse says, they don't bother looking at the great works of Hashem, they don't take note of Hashem's great handiwork. Part of our responsibility is to take note and calculate it. So, if a person is on his way to the 6:30 minyan, and he sees the sunrise, and he doesn't say, Ribbono Shel Olam, that's so beautiful. The Medrash Rabbah says, the Medrash Tanchuma says something we don't actually do, but the Medrash Tanchuma says the following line. It says, if you see the sunrise, and you don't make a blessing of Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech, that's not a pious person. How could you just walk by the sunrise and not thank Hashem for the beautiful sunrise? So we don't make that blessing when we see the sunrise. We do it as part of our prayer. But the Medrash was expressing an excitement that a person should have. You see the sunrise, appreciate the beauty of Hashem's world. So this is an aspect of the Jewish people that Hashem says, I've given you a wisdom I haven't given anyone else. You know secrets of how to calculate the cycle of the moon. Use them. And if you know it and you're not using it, that's wrong. Yes?
Those are the verse,
so
and
so
the verse. What was that verse and where did it come from?
Which one?
Yotzero? No, the one
before
that.
Paul Hashem?
Yeah.
That's a verse in Yeshaya. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman Amar Rabbi Yonatan. We have the following quote. Minyan shemitzvah la'adam nechashev tkufot u'mazalot. How do we know that there's a mitzvah to calculate the constellations, the movement of the stars, and figuring out when the new moon's going to be? Shnemal, the verse says, u'shmaltem v'asitem. Watch over this tradition and perform it. Ki chochmatchem u'vinatchem le'enei amim. Because the nations look at it and marvel at your wisdom and understanding. Ezo yichochma u'vinashi le'enei amim. What wisdom do we have that the nations can actually know? We have the wisdom of the Torah. We have wisdoms that they don't know how to appreciate. So what wisdom do we have that they could appreciate? And that's what our sages say. That is the mathematical calculations that the rabbis knew how to calculate the movement of the stars. And for most of world history, the Jews were amazing astronomers. This goes back to the first temple period. This goes back to the Jews in the desert. The Jews had a very developed mathematical system, which included calculating the months and knowing when the new moon would be. And even though the court would await witnesses coming and declaring when the new moon was seen, the rabbis knew how to time it down to a T, down to the minute, when the new moon would actually be there. And they calculated it. They knew how to calculate it irrespective of the witnesses. Should we take 10 minutes now to discuss what a new moon is? Why shouldn't we? It's not our topic directly, but I fear that if we don't take the 10 minutes now, you'll never learn it. So it's a tangent that I feel is worthwhile taking. So we're going to view the world as though the constellations revolve around the Earth. We know that the Earth is turning, and that makes it seem like the constellations are moving around the Earth. But for our purposes, we're going to discuss it as though the constellations are revolving around us, because that's what we see on Earth. Meaning, when you look out at night and you see the moon moving, what you see is the moon moving. And the fact that we know scientifically that the Earth is rotating, that's what causes it to move. Fine, I'm just saying our discourse now will be about the constellations moving in the sky so that we can understand what we're seeing. So let's begin the month, okay? You're standing here, and you're looking up to the sky. And this is going to be east, and this is going to be west. So here in the northern hemisphere, every star you look at almost rises in the east and sets in the west. So you look out here, and our sun is setting, okay? So just as our sun is setting, today is the 15th of the lunar month. It's the middle of the lunar month, which is 29 and a half days approximately. So we're going to say it's the 15th, the middle of the month, the sun set, and directly right after that, a full moon rises. And all night long, the sun is doing this, and the moon is doing that. Okay? Again, in our terminology. So the moon rises in the east, goes across the sky throughout the night, and then in the morning, the moon sets, and the sun rises. Sunrise.
Sunset.
Oh.
Sunrise.
Okay. You read the same book I did. Yes. So in the morning, the sun rises, and that night, let's imagine we're in the summer solstice. It is June. It is April 23rd. And you have a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night, the spring solstice, and so the sun is going to set again at 6 o'clock at night.
It's an equinox.
The summer equinox, right, the spring equinox. The summer solstice is June 21st, right, okay, fine. So the sun sets, and you look out diligently to the east at 6 o'clock at night, and the moon didn't rise. And you wait, and after about 40 minutes, the moon will rise. Because the movement of the moon is approximately 40 minutes slower than the movement of the sun every day. So during the course of last night and the day, so the moon became slower. And what you start seeing is that the moon is not exactly full. This little slither is missing from the moon. And the moon goes across the sky. And remember, it rose 40 minutes after sunset. At 6:40 it rose. So sunrise is 6 o'clock in the morning. At 6 o'clock in the morning, it hasn't yet made it here. But during the course of the 12-hour night, it lost another 20 minutes. Remember, it loses 20 minutes at night, 20 minutes by day. Its total cycle is 40 minutes shorter than the sun. So that means that throughout the course of the night, the moon is going to get here. And what you're going to see is this slither of the moon as the sun rises at 6 o'clock in the morning. Because the moon started its path at 6:40 at night, and it lost 20 minutes of the journey. So on the 16th of the month, when I have sunrise, so at 6 o'clock,
the moon is here, I don't get to see sunset, meaning the second half of the month, from the 15th onward, I will not see the moon set. Okay, we go through our day, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, the sun comes across the sky, the sun sets at 6, when am I going to see the moon rising? I lost another 40 minutes since yesterday, so now I have to wait till 7:20, and now when the moon rises, I'm going to see less of it. So, 7:20, the moon rises. Now, I go throughout the night, and now the moon is going to reach till here. It's going to reach till here before it sets. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, our sun diligently rises, and our moon is already higher up in the horizon before it sets. What happens on the 22nd of the month? On the 22nd of the month, the sun rises here at 6 o'clock at night. I have to wait till midnight till my moon rises. The moon is now a slither. I have a quarter moon by the 22nd, right? 7 days have passed. I'm two-thirds into the month. Three-quarters into the month on the 22nd. I have a quarter moon. My moon rises at midnight, halfway through the night. My moon rises. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, my moon is only up to here, right? When the sun rises at 6 o'clock in the morning. What happens on the 28th of the month? The 28th of the month, it comes 5:20 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning, just before sunrise, a little slither of the moon rises. Okay? And 40 minutes later, the sun rises. Or 20 minutes later, right? The sun rises. So just before sunrise, at the end of the lunar month, the sun rises, the moon is here, just before sunrise, and then the sun rises. On the eastern horizon, if I look at the eastern horizon, so what I will see is that the moon rises, let's say, at 5:40 or 5:50, and then the sun rises right afterwards. And then, during the course of the day, the sun will pass the moon. My sun is here. My moon is here. When the sun passes the moon, that moment is what we call in halacha, bimolad. That's the switching point. And that's the new moon. We didn't see it yet. But the moment where it eclipses it, where it passes it in the sky, that's what's called bimolad, the birth of the new moon. That's what we say every time before we say Rosh Chodesh Benching, right? We say the Molad will be. When will be the new moon? We express the mathematical calculation for the minute that's going to happen. Now, that night, depending on where this happened, that the sun passed the moon, if it happened right here, so then it's possible, it's not likely, but it's possible that at night the sun will set at 6, and at 6, right after sunset, you'll see a little slither on the western horizon. Right after the sunset, second, you will see the moon set. Now, if the moon is too close to the sun, if the molad happened just before sunset or sometime during the day, most likely you won't see the new moon. What the witnesses are looking for, when they give testimony, we saw the new moon, they're looking out to the western horizon, and they're saying they're looking for this tiny slither of the moon on the 29th or the 30th of the month that will set right after the sun. So the next day, the sun sets in the west, and 40 minutes later, my little slither of a moon will set. So if I didn't see it the first day, because it was too close to the sun, remember the second day, I have this. The third day at 6 o'clock at night, all I see again is the sunset, but I have a bigger slither. And as I go through the month, on the 7th of the month, I have a quarter moon setting after the sun. On the 15th of the month, I'm back to where I started. The sun sets, the moon, I see the moon rise. So in the first 15 days of the month, I don't see the moon rise. I never see the moon come off of the eastern front. I always see the moon depending on the day of the month. Where are we today? What day of the month?
We're on the 15th.
Yeah. We're on the 15th. No, so we can go out at sunrise, and from the 15th onward, we can look to the eastern skyline and see the moon rise. From the 15th onward, you can always see the moon rise, depending on the hour, right? Now, you could see it right at sunset. The next night, you'll have to wait 40 minutes till the moon rises. So the second half of the month, you're always seeing the moon rise on the eastern front, but you don't see the moon set. The first half of the month, from the 1st to the 15th, you will always see the moon when the sun sets, either here, 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 or here. The sun is in the sky right after, the moon is in the sky right after the sun sets. So the first 15 days of the month, the sun sets, and if you look up, you will see the moon, depending on where you see it. you can know what day of the month it is depending on how full it is and where it is at sunset. And when I was studying this, there were like 3 years when I was studying this, I used to be able to tell time on dates. I was dating then. Wow. I used to be able to tell time by looking at the moon. Just by seeing where the moon was in the sky, because I was studying it. I was on a date with my wife, and I had forgotten my watch on a park bench. My wife asked me what the time was, and I looked up to the moon, and she says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, judging by the moon, I can tell you what time it is."
That's my man.
I know. She was like, what is he talking about? That actually made it worse.
Then she heard you were a magician. Now you know where lunatic comes from.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
So the molad can only happen in the day flight.
The molad happens right after. No, it could also happen down here. Oh, okay. Happen during the night.
But how do we know when it passes? Just from
that, the rabbis know how to calculate. So that's the genius we were just learning, that they knew how to calculate the minute when the sun would pass the moon, even though you can't see it.
That's Rosh Chodesh. When the moon.
That's not Rosh Chodesh is defined by when the witnesses can see it. Now the rabbis sometimes knew that the sun passed the moon an hour before sunset, 20 minutes before sunset. Even 3 hours before sunset, and it was impossible to see the moon. The rabbis sometimes knew full well that a witness would come in and say, "I saw the new moon." And they said, technically, mathematically, it was there. Realistically, it was so close, no way you saw it. That they knew how to calculate till today. We work with the same calculation it says in the Tour. These are calculations written in Rishonim. You open a Tour from 600 years ago. You see the mathematical calculations you guys want to see? I'll show you. In the back of the Tour, Chelek Beis in the old editions, Chelek Dalit in the newer editions. They just made a better print. So it's in the last two pages, you see a bunch of mathematical charts, and they're 600 years old. The charts of how to calculate the new moon and the month and everything. That's what we just learned. That this was a wisdom we had that goes back way before NASA. Okay,